Also, does anyone mind if I record this for posterity
I don't mind.
and posteriors?
Well, if it's for a series, then go right ahead.
Excellent. All right, I probably also need to see. I just need to crank my volume up because running Calligraph on my laptop makes everything really quiet for some reason. Both you guys are familiar with the setting, or does anybody need me to refresh on it? I sent you kind of a player-facing thing that has enough, I think. If you're not clear on something, I can explain it.
Sure. Let me pull it up real quick.
Yeah, I linked it in the group chat.
Oh, okay. You also send it to me.
Yeah, that's the full one.
Oh, okay.
I linked one here that has kind of just the basic information. And feel free to copy the character sheet from the thing if you want me. I probably need to explain the rules to at least one of you.
I never played Don't Answer, so.
Okay.
Me also, so.
Okay. So, you guys are gonna need a bunch of D6s.
Alrighty.
Let's see. And if you can have a bunch of ones of different colors, that's important.
Okay, right. That makes using a dice roller difficult.
Well, if you're using a dice roller, you can just do a bunch of different rolls because the way the mechanics in this game work, here I can send the character sheet for this game as it stands. I basically just modified it to be closer to I modified it to be thematically what I'm aiming for. And I guess we'll see if Skype file transfer actually works here.
Is this the same as the one that you just posted?
This is a PDF. This is the character sheet from the standard game.
Oh, okay.
So once everybody has
Looks like I'm getting it.
yeah. It's pretty basic. Like I basically just took the words from the standard character sheet and then I just put them and I just rewrote them diff a little differently.
Okay.
So this is the whole character sheet is this like landscape piece of paper. So in the standard game, you're like a person that has insomnia because you have some life problems and you've stayed awake so long that you like the world has snapped and you suddenly see doors that lead into the dream world and you realize that now that you can see into the dream world, your dreams are real. You have dream powers, but your dreams can also like hurt you. And so in this, like, I have it so that like you realize that there's a world outside your game and that you can go and do anything, but once you leave your game, there's a good chance you're probably never going to return to it. And so in the basic game, you notice on the right side of the you notice on the right column, so there's the my name is, I am, what's been keeping you awake, what happened to you, what's on the surface, what lies beneath, what's your path. That's all your like character motivation. And basically it also gives you a little bit of narrative control over the game. In the case of a one shot, basically you describe the beginning and the ending of your character's arc by what just happened to you is literally your first scene in the game, and what's your path is what your character is trying to do. Like in the case of Don't Rest Your Head, it's like what are they trying to do to resolve the issues that are constantly keeping them awake? And in this, it's like, what do you want to do to fulfill yourself as like to fulfill yourself in the way that you're not satisfied in your current game? And then on the right side of the screen is all your mechanical stuff. So you notice there's discipline. Discipline automatically starts at 3. Whenever you make any roll for anything, you always roll at least your discipline dice. And then you notice below discipline is permanent madness. I will explain that. So then you also have below that you have exhaustion. And so the whole thing about the game is that you're normally you're an insomniac. So you have a thing. So underneath your talents on the bottom there, you have your exhaustion talent. So basically like with exhaustion, you can elect to give yourself points of exhaustion at any time, and whenever you do that, you automatically roll your exhaustion dice. Or if in the course of a roll you want to add a point of exhaustion, you automatically get at least that many successes on the roll. And the reason I'm explaining what all these things are before I get to the core mechanic is because the core mechanic requires that you understand these three things. So then madness, madness is, in the normal game, like, exhaustion is a thing that, like, you can do that's a normal thing, but in the dream world, you can do, like, insanely well. Like, I think the things that they say are, like a gymnast can, like, break through walls and jump over buildings, an accountant can use their math skills to accurately figure out, like, where they need to throw a ball to, like, stop a car from running or something like that. Like, okay. It's just, you are really good at the one thing that defines you. And in this setting, instead of exhaustion, you have, like, whatever your native ability is from your video game, and checking up exhaustion is, like, increasing your ties to your game and increasing your compulsion to return. So normally in the game, when you fill up all of your exhaustion boxes, all six of them, you fall asleep, which is really bad because your dreams can still, like, kill you.
Yeah.
And when you wake up, you lose all of your exhaustion powers and all of your madness powers. But your dreams can still find you. And in this, like, if you run out of what is exhaustion points, which I haven't come up with a name for, I could just call it compulsion or something like that. You become
homesickness.
Yeah. You become, like, desperate. You absolutely need to return to the game. You will do anything to find your way back into it. And it blows your mind that you decided to leave, basically. So then to the next part is your madness talent. In the standard game, madness is, like, it's anything. Like, it's just, think of a superpower or some, like, random, like, crazy bullshit. Like, in the normal game, there's a supplement that Ben Bo wrote called Don't Lose Your Mind, which is, like, an alphabet of madness powers. So there's, like, one of the characters, like, it has a bunch of pre-gens, like, a kid who has, like, a doll that's, like, a voodoo, or it has, like, an action figure that's a voodoo doll for the world. So, like, he can, like, turn its arm and open a door, or he can shake it and cause earthquakes. Or there's, like, flight or summon hordes of ninjas or something like that. And hold on. Madness talents, you can roll anywhere between 1 and 6 dice if you elect to at any point. Now, if you're wondering why that's a bad thing, let me get to the core mechanic of the game. So the core mechanic of the game is whenever you make a roll, you roll your discipline plus your current exhaustion dice plus any madness dice that you want. Now, a success is any die that rolls 3 or less. And if you get the most successes, then you succeed at the conflict. However, whatever pool has the most sixes is the pool that dominates. So if discipline dominates, then it's actually good for you. You can actually, like, reduce points of exhaustion. You can restore responses. I think that's it. If exhaustion dominates, you automatically take another exhaustion box. And if madness dominates, you check a box off of your fight or flight thing. And you're compelled to either do one of those things. When you run out of fight or flight boxes, you permanently lose a point of discipline and you add a point of permanent madness. When you run out of discipline points, you become a nightmare. Or you fade into the background of the world. Like, you stop being a PC, at the very least.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, madness, normally... Now, there's two different ways we can do madness. The way I've normally done is you just say how many madness dice you want to use, and then I kind of fudge up a thing. The way the game suggests that you do it is that you say what you want to do with your madness talent, and then I say how many dice you should probably roll to do that. Now, there's also another thing. I, as the GM, roll an exclusive kind of die to me, which is called pain dice. Now,
GM gets pain dice.
Yeah. Nice. This is a rare game in that it's much easier for me to run than it is for the players to play. Because I only have one kind of die, and I don't have to do much writing. So if pain wins... Then at the challenge, then not only do you not succeed at the thing, you either take a point of madness, or you either take a point of exhaustion, or you check off one of your responses. If pain dominates, then I get to add a coin to the pain jar, which I can use to either give my, to either make any one of your or my, well, any one of your pools dominate at any time. However, me using a coin from the pain jar puts it in the hope jar, which any coins that are in the hope jar, you guys can use to restore responses, check off, or actually, you can even remove permanent madness with them. Now, if that sounds like a clusterfuck, that's because it is.
But can you regain points of discipline? Because you said you lost a point.
Yes, if you spend a hope coin, then you lose a point of permanent madness and you regain a point of discipline.
Okay.
Also, I guess if it weren't clear, permanent madness points, instead of rolling discipline dice, you always roll at least as many permanent madness dice as you have, in addition to any more madness you want to roll.
Okay. So you get stronger as you go insane.
Basically, yeah. You become more nightmarish, or in the case of this game, madness talents are instead like glitches or exploitable mechanics in your game, and the more you use glitches, the glitchier you get. To the point where you either like transform into some terrifying glitch monster, or you just sort of melt into the mess of code that is the world. So do you need me to explain anything else from the character concepts? Do you need me to re-explain everything?
I'm gonna try to read it real quick. I can read it faster than I can understand.
I'll probably need you to explain it again
I can explain.
And I'll probably be slow at first.
Yeah, that's fine. So you need at the very least like 3 dice of each color. Preferably 3, 6, and 6. Which is a lot of dice and a lot of oddly colored dice. But if you don't have that, then you can use a dice roller and just roll 3 and then roll 4 and then roll for exhaustion and then roll for madness, which is a little slower, but if it's easier for you, then have at it.
Sure. I mean, I could just roll like 10 dice and just remember the first 3 are discipline and the...
If you just want to roll like a bucket of dice and then just say going from left to right, they are these things, then that's fine too. If you want to do something like that in the dice roller, then yeah, just saying like going from left to right, this is what all of these things are.
Yeah.
If that's easier for you.
Do you want us to be from the same game?
It's up to you. Normally in Don't Rest Your Head, you're playing people from all over the place and you're just kind of serendipitously meet up. This game is also very weird in that it encourages, I'm going to break from the part of the game where it sort of encourages everybody to just follow their own story, because I can do it because I only have 2 players, but it's going to be kind of boring for whoever's not on scene. And it's also a lot harder for me to try and make a cohesive plot out of 2 independent plots.
That's reasonable.
I'm going to kind of fiat you guys to just be together. If you're from different games, but normally in the game, you can be anyone from anywhere. Like the sample characters in the game are like Amelia Earhart and Jimmy Hoffa. It's just like a bunch of people that just mysteriously vanished.
Mystery solved. Okay, well, what about the world? I mean, I get that it's Wreck-It Ralphish, but is everybody sentient in the games, or are we the only sentient people?
You probably have varying degrees of sentience. Like the lesser NPCs usually won't have a lot of higher level thoughts and stuff like that, but the hero it's up to your game specifically, because I can't account for like every kind of game. You're usually the unique one in that you're the one who doesn't want to keep doing the thing that you're doing.
Sure.
Or there might be a couple of you that are like that, like.
So would me playing a mook still work with that then? Or am I essentially
you can be an intelligent mook. who's tired of like walking around, between two squares, waiting for someone to jump on you.
I'm the red-shelled Koopa who doesn't walk off the edges.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
You have the forethought and the initiative to turn around.
Yeah.
Also, are we like in an arc, like? You know, Wreck-It Ralph is framed in like that arcade.
So I have it in this sort of. I said this to Callum. The idea I have is that you're all sort of like in emulators in like a computer system, basically.
Okay, within one computer.
Yeah, that's my kind of thought. It's sort of this mashup between Wreck-It Ralph and Kid Rad and Reboot.
Okay.
Also, if you guys haven't read Kid Rad, it's an interesting webcomic that's what ran from like 2004 to 2006 and is interesting in that it's like Wreck-It Ralph, but not. Like it in Reboot are where I pulled a lot of the core ideas for this. Just Wreck-It Ralph was a great catalyst of like, I don't want to be this character anymore. I know there's this other game out there. I can go and like steal a hero medal or take the robot master's gun or something.
Mm-hmm. How does dying work actually? Do we respawn?
No, when that's the one thing that I have shamelessly stolen from Wreck-It Ralph is that if you die outside your game, you die in real life.
Okay.
And you're like aware of that, like you know that leaving the game is like leaving your wonderful like safe perfect world that isn't really perfect, but it's something.
Okay.
To put it in more mundane terms, your game is like the office job that's secure but that you hate.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go and find other work, but you know you're going to have to quit and like be unemployed for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Except in this case, unemployment means that you like have to fight for yourself and you have to live in a crazy like anarchic weird society. So, like, quitting your office job to go live in Mad Max.
Wonderful. do you have an ideas, Kevin? It's Kevin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm actually going to play the announcer from, like, Major League Baseball 2010, something.
I like that.
Something outdated that hasn't been turned on.
Sure.
5 years?
Oh, man.
And then I guess the only other thing that's kind of tricky is, like, figuring out what your, like, standard game powers are and, like, what your weird glitches are.
Yeah, I'm tempted to say for, like, just sort of being the mook is that my exhaustion talent is something just along the lines of being ignored. Like, it's some sort of hiding talent.
All right. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the madness talent would be something, like, completely opposite to that, I guess, since it's going against the game's nature, or...
Or is, like... Something that wasn't accounted for.
Mm-hmm.
I think my exhaustion talent might be like just announcing something makes it more likely to happen.
Okay.
I like that. That's cool.
And the madness talent, I'm almost thinking about like rubber banding. Like if he's facing something that outclasses him, he temporarily matches it in whatever it's doing.
All right, so you can copy the other thing's powers.
Oh, yeah, you start rubber banding when things get too bad.
I was almost going to say that I was almost going to say that you're like the announcer from like from Midway Slugfest, and you get like turbo. You become on fire.
Yeah, maybe it's turbo mode or something like that.
Yeah. Oh God, Slugfest! That was such a dumb game. Slugfest. I think there was Red Card, and one of those games did okay, and the other one really didn't. All right, and then so you just need to work if you have the mechanical parts worked out, then you just need to work on the roleplay parts.
Yeah.
And I kind of realize that this is a little bit more intensive on players than the standard game, because the standard game is like you're normal people and all this crazy shit happens. And in this game, I'm like, why don't you like make up your own world?
I really like that. I've always been interested about Rest Your Head, but like, I generally like learn games better by playing them. So I've essentially been looking for just a way to play it.
Yeah. I'm actually going to use the bathroom. I'll be back in a second.
Sure.
All right, I'm back.
Welcome back.
Yeah. So, if you guys want any help with stuff, you seem like you might have your kind of games and whatever sort of figured out by the just, you know, because those are like kind of part of your character.
Mm-hmm.
So also I have a couple things that are, I have a couple things that have changed. Instead of what's been keeping you awake, I have like, what is your game? Because that's, it sort of fills the same purpose. Like what's been keeping mm-hmm. you awake is like, normally it's like, I owe money to the mob or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's almost redundant with who I am though.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, it's, yeah. Mm. And I, yeah. And I am,
which isn't really that big a deal.
Yeah. And then, mm-hmm. I, well, it's also what "and I am" is sort of is kind of redundant with "what's your purpose." Although I yeah. could, although in, it is less redundant in other games where it's like "and I am a combat cyborg designed to fight the forces of Dr. Wily," and it's like "what's your purpose? I'm the main character."
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's generally like how I've looked at that. Was just that the "what I am" is what your character like is. And then the what's your purpose is what your character is within the game.
It's just sort of redundant for Kevin because it's a, I am a sports announcer. What's your purpose?
Oh,
I'm a sports announcer. yeah.
what sort of answer do you want for what's your game? Do you want like a title? Do you want a genre?
If
like,
you, yeah, you I mean, whatever. Yeah, a title and a genre. And like if you want like a short description or something, like I can probably... I can sort of if you want me to take more liberties, just like write less things.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
If you want me to do the part where I make up stuff for the game, like it's normally like normally the game master does.
I am more than happy with it.
Oh, just and also the other thing is the other thing is you're supposed to pre-check off three of your fight or flight boxes by default.
Mm-hmm.
In some combination.
Yeah, or... yeah. So you either have, so you can either have, you know, you can have 3, 2, or 1 of each thing, so long as the total at, so long as the total remaining responses adds up to 3.
Mm-hmm. Probably makes sense to
I
me
would,
to have like full flight then rather than fight.
Yeah, I would advise against having nothing but fight, because that tends to lead into an infinite feedback loop.
Really?
Provided you don't win eventually. I had a player in one game I ran who was like a Vietnam vet or something who saw Charlie everywhere and had an assault rifle in his house, and he went to the Mad City and just started shooting the place up, but just kept using nothing but madness powers, which made him get nothing but fight, which made him kept going, which made him keep using madness powers.
Oh god.
So he like burned through 2 points of discipline in like a single scene because he just didn't oh, stop rolling.
Okay, so checking means we can't use them or can use them?
Checking means you if they're not checked off, then you can use them. I just filled them with X's because I guess I could fill them with spaces to make them better. Like I'm gonna do that right now.
So wouldn't the what just happened to you be the
normally
the same for everybody?
Not
like I just left my game.
Not exactly, because in Don't Rest Your Head, what just happened to you is sort of like the moment that causes you to notice the Mad City exists.
Mm-hmm.
So in and it can be something in some cases it's like the mob showed up at my door and they showed up at both doors of my house, and so I ran through the third door I never saw before.
Mm-hmm.
It's either you're like going against you either decide to go against something in your game or some other game is like, or I don't know, your game started breaking down, or you noticed you can move in more than 2 directions.
I kind of like that, actually. Wait, what?
So it's basically, yeah, so it's basically your opening scene, and then from there I think a lot of people in the, Yeah. Although I guess in the core game, it's the way that they expect you to set it up is like, I don't know. They also encourage people to make something that's less immediate, but then it's like, then it gets a lot harder because like one of the ones they had was like they included two examples that were very similar. One of them was like, I saw my wife in bed with another man, and then the one that they did following that is, I saw my wife in bed with another man, and now I'm at the end of a 3-day bender.
So is the where we are maybe the moment where we realize we're in a game, or do we already know that?
I think I'll let's see. I think I'll leave that up to you, like that you I think probably everybody knows that everybody knows they live in a world with very strict rules and stuff like that. In your case, you're also like, even in the context of the reality of your game, you're still in a game.
Yeah.
You're in a meta game. Anyway, yeah, the more questions you ask, the better I can handle these the next time.
Sure.
Because I basically just spat all my thoughts onto paper
That's fine.
in the most, I don't know, in the way that made the most sense to me.
I'll be right back.
And what's your path? Right. So that's like the general
Like what,
like
like.
plot line we're going after.
Yeah,
Like,
the thing.
I want to be the protagonist
Yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to be the hero. I want to be a boss, etc.
What are we gonna go with? I want to be a boss. Yeah. Right.
Oh, also, if you're doing your character sheet in Docs, can you link it to me?
Yeah, I was just about to do so. I just wanted to finish the fluffy stuff.
Okay, sure. All right, let me check this out. Bounce Boy: Return of the Ooze Lord, or Bounce Boy 3. Nice. Oh, that gives me some other ideas. Since you mentioned a sequel, there's one thing in the Kid Rad comic which is about the main character of like a fake platformer called Kid Rad, which is like almost kind of like Mega Man, but not really. Is that somewhere in the comic, while they're exploring, they find a copy of Kid Rad 2. Also, that was the
Oh,
idea
man.
where I came up with the idea of exploitable mechanics, because the whole like big twist in Kid Rad is that Kid Rad's ability is that like Mega Man, he can charge up a shot and then like do a lot of damage. But the exploitable mechanic is when he's outside of his game, there's no limit on how long he can charge and how much damage he can do by charging.
Nice.
And so if he
Oh,
charges for a couple of minutes, like he can blow up a city.
man. Oh, right. Oh, man. Yeah, no, that's a good example of just what you want from like the glitches, I guess.
Yeah,
So.
I guess I could say something like that. I also wrote down some other ones, I think, in there. Although most of them were kind of like the Wreck-It Ralph ones, like some characters are NPCs and therefore can't take damage and also can't fight. Some of them have like bad geometry and can like clip through walls. Oh yeah,
Oh,
and then I
man.
also have the obvious example of some of them went to a weird island and surfed around for a long time until their backpack contained an impossible number of items with an unknown purpose. And some of them
Oh,
were in a game that had a top-down perspective, and so they can treat any surface as a floor.
that's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, so I guess I should. And then I go on to say that, yeah, so it's like here that you are encouraged to exploit your glitches to survive, and because fighting fair in the old world was designed to provide a challenge or make you defeatable and or make you an understandable challenge for somebody else, but this world doesn't work that way.
Oh man. But yeah, what just happened to me is just like he was going along with Ooze A and Ooze B, Ooze Z. They just sort of walked into the wall like they always do. And Ooze Y, or Oozy as he calls himself, was just sort of like, you know what? No. Turn around.
Yeah, all right. And when you say that you're like a green ooze, are you like an amorphous blob that sort of rolls along, or are you like a ball of ooze with legs, or like what is your design?
I'm thinking just like You know that fucking egg Digimon? Who's Agumon? I think it's... No, damn it. There's like this egg Digimon with legs and eyes and pretty much that kind of shape, but all just sort of like green ooze.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Okay, I think I found the one. Digitamamon.
No,
this one?
Yes, that one.
Okay, yeah, okay, I can see that. Just your standard sort of like 8-bit guy. Really easy to draw.
Yeah, he's a circle with legs.
Yeah,
and who is green,
and some dots.
And sometimes he has eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was probably that's one of the other things that I should write in. Is a blatant ripoff of MS Paint Adventures that you can like, if you're injured, you can flip your sprite and like regain all your stuff back.
Nice. Oh, a fun character concept might be like being an Easter egg as well.
Yeah, that could be it, that you're just tired of hiding in a wall for someone to find you.
Yeah.
So you can...
Over here. Look, aren't I interesting? Remember that game? Damn right you do. I was in it.
You're tired of waiting in the drop ship while the timer counts down to explode so you can tell Master Chief that you're ready to get back to the food nipple on the starship.
Oh, here comes the protagonist. Here. Hi! Patrolling the Mojave almost makes me wish for a nuclear winner. Nailed it.
I could also see someone being Toasty Guy from Mortal Kombat. I can't remember if that was Ed Boon or John Tobias.
What was that? There's this comic floating around, and I don't remember who it is, but it's all like...
Oh, Kevin.
You know what I like about the protagonist?
Kevin, you should put
listen.
You should put that under your power ups. My bad.
Okay.
Discipline. Okay. Discipline is like just any is sort of the thing that everyone can do. Sort
okay.
of like everyone can like walk around and open doors and like you know figure things out generally.
Mm-hmm.
In your case, you can announce a lot of sports statistics. Oh yeah. Also, you were away when I was explaining to Callum the sort of the what inspired sort of the glitches thing. I think.
I didn't haven't heard it yet.
So, like I said, I drew a lot of inspiration from the webcomic Kid Rad, and the basic sort of idea I had about glitches. If this helps, I also wrote some of them down in the under the glitches section. But the basic, like one of the basic things from Kid Rad is that he's like from a game that's kind of like Mega Man, that it's like a platforming shooter, and his special ability in the game is that he can charge up his shot and like shoot it to do more damage. But
yeah.
His exploitable mechanic is that outside the game, the amount of charge he can get is unlimited.
Mm.
And so he can like charge up for like 5 minutes and blow up a city. And then I also wrote in some other, I know you guys already came up with that kind of stuff, but I guess I'll keep it in mind to explain sort of the idea. Cause I also had some other things in there, under the glitches section, like your character has bad geometry and can clip through walls, or they were an NPC and can't hit anybody, but also are invincible. or you know, you went to a weird island and you surfed around on a certain coast of it until your backpack suddenly got filled with an impossible number of things that are weird and you don't understand. But obviously it varies depending on the game that you're from.
Being like a bot on an empty like Quake server from way back when that nobody's been on forever.
Did you ever read that? I think it was the Quake 3 creepypasta.
No, I did not.
Though I didn't know it was a creepypasta for a long time. So the story it's a post. It was like a single post on 4chan where somebody said They start by saying like I remembered I started a Quake server back in 2010 and it's 2014 now and I just sort of left it running and I remembered the bots in that game had had reactive programming, like they would learn from fighting each other and fighting you and adapt their strategies. And somebody responds like, oh my god, what's this server? I feel like losing. And then it's like, all right, I jumped in and all the bots are just sitting there, not doing anything. The score is like 0 across the board. And I walked in, and I walked in, and when I picked up a gun, they all looked at me, and then I, but they still didn't do anything until I killed one of them, and then they started fighting again. And it's like, I think the thing that they realized was that the only way they could all win is to not play. And I didn't realize this was a creepypasta until some people debunked it by saying, like, yeah, I looked at Quake 3 arena files, and like the predictive AI is not that complicated. and it doesn't go where you said it goes in the story, and it can't become 4 gigabytes.
Right. Hold on. There doesn't seem to be a place on the sheet for like current exhaustion.
Put it under your power ups. Just put a bunch of boxes there. I'll fill that in. So let me see. Yeah.
6 boxes.
Yeah.
That's down the line spacing on that.
And then also, I guess I'll put boxes next to glitches and boxes next to discipline. And I'll hook up. I'm gonna get some more water. All right, I'm back.
Welcome back.
All right. So let's see. Let me take a look at things. Let me take a look at the things.
Still struggling for like a madness talent kind of thing for.
Yeah, it's hard to think of. I can understand if you are having trouble thinking of a thing for your MOOC guy.
Yeah.
Or thinking of a way that they glitch out.
Man, another character concept that you could have is just like that one really tough, well, uncharacteristically tough enemy at the start of like a JRPG or something, just as like a random encounter.
Yeah.
And then they level up.
So let's see. So what is your like power up talent?
Was that going to be
that you're like just people ignore you?
Yeah, just guys, come on. I'm threatening. Come at me. Pull your ankles off.
So let's see. So I'm trying to think about a thing you can do that is, I could draw on one of the examples and say that like your game had a lot of graphical problems, and if there's too many things on the screen at once, your character starts flickering and sometimes disappears.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Because it's just very hard to render you for some reason.
It was a shitty engine, and thus it just has a bunch of like frame drop, so it just looks like I'm teleporting.
Yeah.
I like that, yeah.
Also, I hope my laptop can take this. The fan started going really hard recently, and I think I might have to dust this out again at some point, because I have it on top of its cooling pad. So yeah, when you guys, Kevin, do you need any help writing up other stuff for your man?
I'm trying to think of what to put for them.
Still have some of my drugs left in my pill splitter. Well, so what's your purpose would be that you, like, you dictate the statistics and the score for the player, for the teams in the game and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
But unless you're trying to think about why your character's unsatisfied and what just happened to them.
Yeah, that's the path and what happened to you, what I'm thinking about more.
Yeah. Just kind of thinking off the cuff, the initial thing I can think is that you're like that you're tired of sitting on the sidelines and just sort of being a passive observer to things. And that you feel like you understand enough that you want to be in control, or you want to be part of it instead of just like announcing it.
Yeah.
I totally could have done that better. Damn it.
What?
No, like the announcer just all like, no, don't hit the ball. Like, no, this is how you hit the ball. Just there, done. See? See? Where are you going, guys? Don't look at me like that.
Or I mean, just beyond the confines of the game, like you want to be involved with something. It doesn't have to be anything like super specific. Your character just like wants some purpose, maybe that they can figure out that they may be able to achieve.
And we start with like full discipline,
You start
right?
with full discipline, no madness, no exhaustion.
Okay. I think that's me done then.
Or it could also be something like you're tired of sports, you're really tired of baseball.
That'd be a good one, actually. I like that.
I don't know. I'm just spitballing. And again, things like this are why I'm like playtesting, because if people have a hard time making characters, then this is a bad setting.
Yeah.
Or if people are having
There we
hard,
are.
or people are having a hard time making characters, when I say you can make anyone from any video game, then maybe I should like restrict it to simpler video games, I guess.
I think that restricting it as part of the system would perhaps be a bad idea. I would perhaps leave that up to the GM. Like, for example, like a time frame, or like this is an arcade. This arcade has these sorts of games. Or like you said, an emulator, so you know.
So if I just if I yeah, so if I limited it to like think like 8 and 16-bit games and maybe some shooters or something like that.
Like it would have it depend on like the sort of like game that the game is. Well, the sort of, you know.
Because yeah, the original thing that I the original idea I wrote is just to have it it was originally to have it be like crazy bananas, so that there's like a white mage and Richter Belmont and then a Tetris block and a car from Micro Machines
Oh, a Tetris block would be great.
or something dumb like that. But I can also at the same time understand how that's like really hard to write. Why is a Tetris block unsatisfied? What does a Tetris block want in life?
I'm just tired of always looking down.
Every time we do our job, we get killed.
My life is endless pain.
My best friend just got the top half of him chopped off.
Or you're the squiggly block. Everybody hates me.
Yeah. Nobody's happy to see me. I'm
Why
tired
can't
of
I
just.
be line piece?
He gets all of the points.
All right, so is the path like more narrative or more like personal goal?
It's
Personal goal,
yeah,
I
yeah.
think.
It's yeah. It's
Okay.
the thing. It's the thing that you're kind of like. It's yeah. It's the thing that you're trying to achieve by like doing this crazy bullshit.
All right, should I do anything with what happened to you? Or just let that.
That's. I mean, that's your first scene in the game. If you don't have anything, I have like a stand. I have an idea that I can do.
Sure, I don't have anything in particular in mind. I figured it's an old game, so odds are it wouldn't be like the game actually happening.
All right, yeah. It could just be that the stands are empty and you're just, or the stands are empty and you're just sitting in your announcer booth, sort of waiting for stuff to
Been
happen.
sitting here 3 years.
Announcing, still nothing happening. Yep,
Is that
like
a bird or
always.
another pixel? That's a pixel.
Of course, it's always
Or it could be like the end of
pixel.
Breaking Madden. The one team scored so many points that both teams fused into a singular entity in the middle of
Actually, yeah, that'd be even better.
I can work with that too. Callum, have you seen the Breaking Madden series?
I haven't
Oh
actually,
my god,
but just from your
it's so
description.
fucking dumb, but it's amazing. The guy was going through like doing he just did all these like weird things in
Yeah, so James was telling me a little bit about it. He like maxed out all the player stats and he was scoring so many points so quickly that the game started breaking.
Yeah, well that's the finale. So
Okay.
there were a bunch of things that he did, all basically with the custom player generator. So like one of them was like, what if the Chicago Blackhawks decided to play football? And then one of them was he made a I can't remember he made a player that was like that had stats so high that he couldn't be tackled or stopped. I think, and I remember his name was Beef Tank. and he was the star player for the team because all they he would and the thing was like he wouldn't ever play the game. He would always just make these players and put it into coach mode, so he got to pick plays, and then the game just played itself. And the thing with Beef Tank was that they always picked they always picked handoff plays, and Beef Tank just charged through the defensive line and scored touchdowns with like three guys hanging from him. And then, yeah, the final one was they did the Super Bowl game, except they had people vote on which side was supposed, and then it was after the Super Bowl game happened, they had people submit names that they wanted to be on either team, and he had the winning team have the lowest possible stats and everything, he had the losing team have the lowest possible stats and everything, so they were all like 5-0, and they ran really slow, and they weren't really strong, and they like couldn't throw very far, and the winning team was like all 8 feet tall and maxed out in every stat. And it was like, and yeah, basically like, he said at some point the score in the game maxed out. It said the winning team had 255 points, even though it had said that for like the last two quarters. And then suddenly, in the middle of a play, the game called offsides. And then he like examined the field, and all the players were fused into a singular mass in the middle. And the score went so high that it basically started writing into the rest of the code. They didn't put an upper limit on how the score could go because they didn't account for it going that high.
Oh god.
Oh man. Okay.
I think I'm ready.
Yeah. Alright, I think that coffee's starting to kick in. Okay. There's not a lot of need to introduce your characters because your introduction will be like I do the first scene for you.
Sure.
All right, so let's see. But all the players are just buried with transparent skin. All right.
What's that? Hold on, I need to actually look at the sheet. Driven from his home by the amorphous blob that used to be his friend.
All right. Okay, actually, I need to use the bathroom again, but then I'll be ready. Then I'll be ready for real.
Yeah, I'll be ready.
Ready to rumble, boxing. Everybody take any breaks you need.
And I'm back.
All right, I'm back.
Come back.
So if when Kevin gets back, we can start. I'm also going to stop this recording and start a new one. I just felt like recording character generation would be interesting. Because it usually is.